guest growl, Momo. Ah! All right, now this once again proves Chris Morales doesn't listen to the whole show. That was the lie of the day yesterday. I completely made that story up.
That was so good. That was so good.
That's the second time that that Chris has featured the lie of the day in his open the next day. But, you know.
I think that's my fault because he told me to tell them to make sure to tell him the lie of the day every day.
Yeah.
And I started doing it for like a week and then I forgot to keep telling him what it was.
And plus, I labeled the clips too. So I don't
know
what he's doing.
The one thing is Mason and I have always said that we'd love to get killed on the air. Game of Thrones would have been the dream, you know, for us to be like, just put us in the army and kill us off. You know, like have the White Walkers kill us or something, but we would have had to fly to Ireland for that. So it never worked out. We got a ton of stuff going. Couple of things. Ramona, do you realize that college football starts tomorrow? There is a game at the Rose Bowl. Hawaii at UCLA tomorrow at 12:30.
Tomorrow
at 12:30. It's we hit the ground running. So here's, I want you and Lindsay and Jorge to tell me, and let me start with this. Because we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, and it's going to come rapid fire today. We have a list of like 500 things. If you want to jump in on anything, if you hear us say something or you just want to give your opinion, our phones are always open. Here is the phone number. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Jorge's in there. He'll answer your call. We'll put you in the air. You can weigh in on any of these discussions. So, Ramona, let's start with this. I was very excited when UCLA hired Chip Kelly. For a long time, we wouldn't really commit to a real football coach. I was mad when they fired Bob Toledo. I thought Toledo was really fun, and he was great.
Yeah.
And then they hired Carl Durrell, which I thought was stupid. He had never been a head coach. I thought they gave up too early on Rick Neuheisel. I mean, I don't think they ever get the coaching hire right. When they hired Chip Kelly, I thought, okay, Chip Kelly, when he coached at Oregon, was unbelievable. This was his 4 years at Oregon. 10-3, won the Pac-12. 12-1, won the Pac-12, made it to the BCS title game. 12-2, won the Rose Bowl. 12-1, won the Fiesta Bowl. Okay? So that's pretty unbelievable. 46-7 in 4 years. Then he goes to the NFL. And he started off hot in Philadelphia, and then he flamed out. He had a disastrous year in San Francisco, and then he comes back to college. So I thought UCLA's got the right guy. All right, here's his 3 years so far at UCLA. 3-9, 4-8, 3-4 in the pandemic year. He's 0-6 non-conference. Has not been to a bowl game, obviously, because he hasn't had a 5-win season. If he lays an egg again this year, is that enough to pull the plug, or do you stick with him for the 5-year contract you gave him because he's Chip Kelly? What do you think?
Yeah, I think you stick with him because the truth is it takes this amount of time to recruit the players you want to get there. It takes this amount of time to start to change the culture of a program. And I also think don't you think the pandemic year and really the year and a half doesn't count?
Well,
you know, recruiting is all weird and, you know, the games are all weird.
You know, Alabama and Clemson and all the other teams were normal.
Yeah, but they've had a history of success. I usually think it takes at least 3 years to turn a program around. When you take on a team that...
Well, he's had three. So if he doesn't show improvement this year, have you seen enough?
John, you're an alumni, so you tell me. Has he done... I mean, he had a really good quarterback. He had a really good quarterback.
Yeah, and he's coming back. And by the way, we bring back 20 of 22 starters.
I mean, the one thing
including DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who's the guy you're talking about.
Yeah. I feel like UCLA has guys that get drafted in the first round all the time. They're getting talent there. It just hasn't been translating to sustained winning on the field. They're just not winning enough. And so part of me says, you got to just give them some time to build the program because, you know, the one thing...
I don't disagree with that statement, but how much time is enough?
Yeah, I almost give everybody a mulligan in the last 2 years. But
in the last 2 years or just the last year?
Last year.
Because remember, the pandemic hit in March.
Right.
So...
Last year, to me, is a mulligan for everybody. This year, in some ways, is a mulligan just because... the recruiting for this year has been so off, off-season training so off. Like, everything is just, it's just different than a normal year. So I would generally tend to err on the side of gives people more time. But it kind of depends on what people up close to Chip and the program feel and think. Because you can tell when you get up close. Like, usually you'd say, okay, are they winning or are they losing? Are they going the right direction or are they going the wrong direction? Are you better off 4 years from, you know, now than 4 years ago than you are now? Or, like, that's the general standard. But there's also a, how have you ingratiated yourself to the university? How do people around the program feel about the job you're doing? Do people believe
Isn't the bottom line, even if you are, like, building a program and and you're well-liked, by the way, Chip has a reputation of not being very well-liked off the field, wherever he's been. He's just not that guy that's going to, you know, show up at a lot of cocktail parties and, you know, win over the crowd. His trump card has always been whatever Chip is doing is worth it because he's going 12-1 and 11-2 every year, but he hasn't been doing that. Here's Ralph in Rancho Cucamonga. Hey, Ralph, if Chip Kelly struggles this year, have you seen enough?
Yep, I've seen enough. If he's if the Bruins are in into the season, three games in, and we're 0-3 again, it's time to he's got to go. I didn't like it when they hired him to begin with. He needs to go.
Why didn't you like when they hired him in the beginning?
I didn't like. I mean, you know, he coached in the pros, had it. Oh, he did started out okay, and then kind of, you know, faded away, but. I felt that the Bruins didn't do enough, and I mean administrative-wise, they didn't do enough to search for the right coach and to get the right coach in here. And they haven't for the past, you know, with the exception of, like you said earlier.
I like Neuheisel, but I like Neuheisel, but they gave up too early on him, I thought.
Yeah, maybe, but they could have done better. That's the thing, you know. You go across the way to SC and, you know, you got Pete Carroll there forever and a day, and he's just killing us. And when are the Bruins going to get it right and get the right coach in here and get recruiting right and get players in here that are going to Clemson and Ohio State and so on? You know, it's time for a change.
All right. Thanks, Ralph, for the phone call. Ramona, it's not an easy question to answer because if you cut bait on Kelly, he's 46-7. At Oregon, and then he comes down here and he lays an egg. It's the same conference.
Right. And times change, John, right? Times change, schemes change. Some of what I thought Oregon did so great during those years where he was that successful up there, they recruited L.A. really well, which is why I thought Chip Kelly was going to do well here. I mean, he recruited Los Angeles really well. Remember, like, he was always taking kids who normally used to go to UCLA or USC, and they would all go to Oregon. And it was because of the offense he ran. It was because of the cool uniforms. It was because they were successful. So he has all the ingredients of somebody who should be successful here. So at some point, you have to look and say, is it Chip Kelly or is there something going on at the university or something that's precluding UCLA from getting it all together?
Here's Frank in L.A. Hey, Frank, what do you think of this whole UCLA thing? I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I really don't think it's Chip Kelly. I think the problem was Dan Guerrero. Dan Guerrero had made the situation where we could not get recruits because of the grade point average of where we were getting years before, we were getting athletes who were maybe 4.3.5. We were recruiting athletes out of Texas. And we lost all that for at least a decade. And now with this new coordinator, that we might be able to come. This is going to be a big year for Kelly. He's going to have to be on the plus side this year.
Yeah, I agree with you, Frank. And by the way, Martin Germain, the guy they hired to be the new athletic director, they got him from Boston College. Everybody I've talked to swears by this dude. Like they say he's like, Ramona, I haven't met him yet. Have you?
I feel like, no, I haven't met him in person.
Thanks, Frank.
What is
the
meeting?
Call.
What is meeting these days, right?
Yeah.
Like in pandemic world, right? I just saw him all the time during the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Right? He just seemed like a great guy and a great leader.
Yeah, this dude just seems to get it. I've heard him interview. I've heard Sedano interview him. I've heard other people talked to, I've talked to enough people that have talked to him that I think they got the right guy there. Okay, so UCLA opens the season tomorrow. That's one thing we're keeping an eye on. Another thing, so I'm watching SportsCenter, Ramona, and they've got some story on dogs, like barking in the park.
Yep.
And I look up, and there's Chewy, Lindsay's dog, with Lindsay on SportsCenter. Lindsay, how did Chewy get on SportsCenter?
Well, he's famous. He's a famous dog. Everyone wants to book him on their shows. No, they had, you know, they sent out like
the email. Is that Greg Fonseca? Is that Greg? Yeah, he's always good at that. Yeah.
Yeah, they sent out like the little email, like, hey, everybody, for, you know, everyone that works at LAPC, like the LA studios, like send in pictures of your dog for our International Dog Day segment. And we'll try and get it in there. And they used mine with me and Chewy. So,
all right,
Chewy's famous.
Have you sent it out on social so people can see it?
I just posted it. I'll post it on Instagram because I posted it on Facebook, because, you know.
All right. So if you want to see Lindsay and Chewy on SportsCenter, she just posted it on her social at Lindsay Baseball. Oh. Now, let's get to the Dodgers. Ramona, I said at the beginning of the week, if they swept them, that it could be the end of the Padres. Not only did they sweep them, but in the three-game series, Julio Urias, Walker Buehler, and Max Scherzer did not allow an earned run. Not one earned run. They scored 5 runs, the Padres did, in 34 innings. San Diego's now 2-12 in their last 14 games. They trail Cincinnati by 2 in the wild card race. If the season ended today, they'd be out of it. Did we just watch the Padres knock the Dodgers, the Dodgers knock the Padres out of the playoff race?
You know, I want to say yes. I mean, what are they, 2-14
yep.
in the last 16
2-12.
Games? 2-12 in the last 14 games. I mean, that's a brutal stretch there. But the thing with baseball is they actually have a bunch of games against all the teams that are in front of them. And they're not going to catch the Dodgers or the Giants. But they can really do some damage. And San Diego has actually been pretty good against good teams this year. They've been, it's the problem that they've had is they've been very average against all the bad teams. So they're kind of treading water against the bad teams. Like, you should be running up the score against the Marlins and the Cubs and all those teams this year. But San Diego I think Dodger fans, like, you just beat them and you just swept them and you should enjoy that moment, but now you have to root for them.
because they're playing the Giants. And they still have one more series left with the Dodgers, but they're playing the Giants 10 times. And despite all this stuff, Ramona, with the Dodgers and how great they've been and how unbeatable they've been in August, I think they're 22-4 now in August. They picked up one game on the Giants in the whole month because the Giants just keep winning, including again last night. They're still 2.5 games behind the Giants. There's a series coming up. What you want to do if you're the Dodgers is keep it within striking distance. But the Giants aren't losing, which means the Dodgers very well could end up playing in the wild card game. So this series that they just swept may very well help determine their opponent. If you're a Dodger fan, you know, it's a matter of, would you rather play Cincinnati or would you rather play San Diego? I'm almost thinking now that they'd rather play San Diego because the Padres can't find, you know, they can't put one foot in front of the other. They're the coldest team in the major leagues. So now it's a weird scenario where we root for the Padres, A, because they're going to play the Giants a lot, and B, because they might be an easier opponent in a one-game playoff than Cincinnati, don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, that game the other night against the Padres, it just...
Well, that's the nightmare, that it turns into the wildest game of the year that anybody could win.
And I think that's the game they probably throw Blake Snell and Dodgers know all about, and then they throw all their guys in the bullpen because there's no reason to save anybody. So the Padres left Blake Snell in. You know, he pitched 7 2/3. That was the longest career start he's ever had. That's unbelievable. 7 2/3 is the longest career start you've had. You had 10 strikeouts.
Well, he should have pitched
innings,
longer in the World Series, but Kevin Cash, the Rays manager, took him out. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Blake Snell, who held them scoreless for 7 2/3, and then finally at the end there gave it to Will Smith. Hit. I mean, that guy's lights out. They have a great bullpen. I don't want to see the Padres. I think the Padres
You'd rather
are
see
very
the Reds.
Dangerous. Yeah, I'd rather see the Reds.
All right, but you may be in a weird situation where you can root for the Padres against the Giants and then against them in every other game. It's getting complicated. All right, so we'll, Dodgers, by the way, open a series tonight at home. They're back at Dodger Stadium against Colorado. Coming up next, one of the Patriots radio guys put his foot in his mouth, and now and now the cancel culture cops are out to get him. How much trouble is he in? We'll explain next. Ramona Informace, I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mason in Ireland, as Chris mentioned, Momo's in for Mace, and we have another cancel culture alert. If you listen to the show, you know I hate cancel culture. I think people should be able to apologize for things they say. If you commit a crime, you should pay the consequences of that crime, but if you make a mistake, you should be able to apologize. Ramona, I'm going to play something that was said, and I want you to tell me how much trouble this guy is in. There is a former Patriots quarterback, a guy named Scott Zolak, who now works for the Patriots radio station. You know, like we're the Rams station in L.A. He works for the Patriots station in Boston. And Zolak, who played there from 92 through 98 and has worked in the media ever since, was reporting from practice on Thursday. And he's talking to the two other guys on the show. And he makes an observation about Cam Newton. He's asked the question, what do you think would help Cam Newton play better? I'm going to play what he said. It runs a minute and 30 seconds. Here it is.
I turn off the rap music, first of all, because I think it's distracting for Cam here, because in between every throw, he's dancing.
I did see Karen Garigian of the Herald tweeting about that as he took the field. He's doing it in between drills, you're saying.
He makes a throw, and then the music's still cranking. I know you can hear faintly in the background here.
I think it's distracting for you.
No, it's when I play Bon Jovi. That's like the only thing. No, I'm kidding. But he can't help himself to where Mac looks like he came to work again. Like, he's here to work. And everything's attention to detail.
Is that atypical? That none of this sounds atypical from Cam.
Nothing different.
Well, that's what he does then, right? I mean, it would be more noteworthy if he was doing something that was out of character. Like, it sounds like he's doing all the same stuff, which means he might be first through the drills, which I don't like. I don't like at all. By the way, we got a tweet from Brady, and I think this is a good point. You said yesterday, though, you would be pissed if Cam worked with the ones today. So why the change of heart?
Because I think they need to take a hard look at him. I think it's decision week, really. Like, just because what happened yesterday, I think you need one more look at Cam just to say, you know what? I need confidence in my decision. I'm going to go with Mac here. I need to see that Cam didn't take the 5 days off serious, that he came out. He's still jacking around. Just looks like Mac came to work today and he didn't.
You're kind of with me. You still think it's going to be Cam?
He hasn't lost
the job yet.
All right, so Ramona, basically the observation he made is that he starts out by saying, I turn off the rap music because it's distracting for Cam. In between every throw, he's dancing. And then when he talks about Mac Jones, he says that Mac is all business. Jorge, play the short clip, the first 16 seconds. This is what, in particular, has everybody outraged.
I turn off the rap music, first of all, because I think it's distracting for Cam here. Because in between every throw, he's dancing.
I did see Karen Garigian of the Herald tweeting about that as he took the field. He's doing it in between drills, you're saying.
He makes a throw, and then the music's still cranking. I know you can hear faintly in the background here.
So that's why he's in trouble. Ramona, what do you think?
I see why he's in trouble, but I know what he's talking about. It's just a lot of coded language, right? That's why he's in trouble, because it sounds like coded language, and it is. But the truth is, if Cam Newton was out there playing like the MVP he used to be, nobody would be talking about the rap music, right? Like, it's all performance. You ever see LeBron warm up? He plays music
That's exactly where I was going to go.
Who cares about the music? Like, it's just a matter of, are you playing well or not?
That's exactly where I was going to go. If you watched, you know, the best football game I've ever been to in person was USC Texas. Yeah. And Vince Young, all that week in practice, they were playing music. He was leading them in dance numbers. And then he went out in the game and he just balled out. Cam Newton won the MVP. The MVP of the league when he was doing it that way. So I find it very difficult. I'm surprised Scott criticized him for it. But here's where I'll actually stand up for him. This is like, I follow a website. It's a really interesting website. A guy named Robert Latall created a website called BSO,
oh, yeah.
Black Sports Online. It's actually a really good site. He does a lot of... The headline on his story when he posted this story today was, "Why isn't this guy fired yet?" Talking about Zolak. I think it's an... You use the word coded language, and I think you're right. It's not a good look that the guy he said turn off the rap music is black and the guy who he said is all business is white. But Zolak played quarterback in the NFL. I didn't. He's making an observation that he would like Cam to be more businesslike and he thinks that would help him play better. I disagree. I think it's wrong, but I think he's entitled to his opinion. Do you think this is a fireable offense?
No, I think it's just in poor taste and he's going to hear about it and understand why it's in poor taste, but it's not a fireable offense. There's no slurs in there. There's nothing they're just assessing the quarterback battle. And it really does get into a lot of racial stereotypes and coded language and all that. And it's like, he's checking all the boxes of every stereotype and every coded language thing that you can do. Okay. He just sounds, it's not a very sensitive take at all. But he's assessing who should be the quarterback. So if it look a lot of times, you know, they say if Cam was playing at the former level that he used to play, who cares what he listens to?
Right. I mean, as a matter of fact, other teams might start listening to it. Now,
totally.
Zolak.
I mean, a lot of guys I see always warm up to music because it's how they get in the zone.
Zolak is like. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your Momo.
I was going to say,
Zolak is like one of the most annoying, awful play-by-play guys ever. And I think people have been calling for him to get fired for years anyway, just because he's terrible. He's the biggest homer. And I know a lot of, not play-by-play, he's a color commentator for the Patriots. But I know a lot of people in that position are, especially when they're former players of the team. But he's over-the-top obnoxious and not even in a funny way. He's out of control. And it's like a running bit on a lot of shows, just making fun of him. And I also think he's a pretty terrible person, or at least he comes off to be. So it's one of the things that's kind of like the icing on the cake of him being having generally bad takes and being a really, really bad at his job.
All right. Jorge, you have an example of Zolak doing color during the games? Play it.
He throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell Tompkins. Leaping. He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots! Kenbrell Tompkins! Your quarterback who left the building. Unicorns, show ponies. Where's the beef?
All right.
What?
So, he wasn't even talking about. Unicorns,
so to let
show
you know
ponies?
That it's all in the ear of the beholder in this case. Lindsay, you don't like him. I like guys that are over the top like that. I like guys that get super into it. So it's not everybody's cup of tea. Ramona, remember when I'm a little older than you, but when Monday Night Football came onto the scene, they would do polls in the paper, and Howard Cosell would be the most disliked announcer and the most liked announcer
right in
the same polls. You know, he'd rank number one in each one. So Zolak is definitely not for everybody. Here's Job in Simi Valley. Job, what do you think of this whole thing?
Hey, John and Momo. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
I actually think it's everyone being a little bit harsh on him. It's, to me, Cam has always been a clown, and you guys said it yourself. The reason he gets away with it before is because he was the MVP and playing good. He hasn't played good for a long time. So now when you're not playing good and you're acting like a clown, it doesn't go good together.
And
your best example, John, is Vince Young. How's he doing right now?
Right, but that doesn't mean that Vince Young wasn't excellent at Texas. He was.
He was good in college, but he wasn't a smart guy. He was the same way, and that's why he's out of the league this fast.
All right, hey, thank you, Joe,
for the phone call.
Let me give you a good
example, okay? This is a good example. LeBron James, first year he's in Los Angeles, it doesn't go well. And what is the biggest image we all remember from that first season when LeBron wasn't doing well, the Lakers weren't doing well? Him walking into Staples Center drinking the bottle of wine.
Oh, that
remember
was so
that?
Stupid, yeah.
It looked terrible. It was like, I'm not playing right now. I want to drink my wine. I'm not part of this. This is all your failure, not mine. It was terrible imaging and messaging, et cetera. Last year, after he was the favorite to win the MVP until he got hurt. Played great, coming off a championship. He's defying father time. He's universally respected. The only thing that happened is he got Solomon Hill ran into him and messed up his ankle. Okay, so he goes to the finals, shows up courtside. What does he bring to the game? Bottle of his tequila. Is anybody saying anything about the bottle of tequila? Anybody say anything about LeBron James right now with the bottle of tequila? It's the same thing as the wine walking into Staples Center. He brings the bottle of tequila, puts it under his seat. It was just product placement. He has got a tequila company, right? It was good. It was good product placement. But it's very similar imaging and messaging, but the context is different. The first time he walked in with the wine, he was playing bad, and it looked like he hadn't embraced the city, and he was looking to foist blame on other people for the Lakers' failures. He wasn't playing as well. This time he's coming off a great year where he just happened to get hurt, and they lost in the first round, but... No, but it's seen very differently because of the context. Because he was playing great. Well,
I will say this about that whole story you just told.
Yeah.
LeBron could have played anywhere he wanted. He was an unrestricted free agent.
Yep.
If you guys don't realize how lucky we are to have LeBron here. By the way, if LeBron doesn't come here, we don't get Anthony Davis. We don't get Russell Westbrook. And we don't get the last championship. You should value the stars that are willing to play for you. And he is, so I don't get the criticism at all. All right, coming up next, we'll spin the wheel of questions. Last question of the week from me, Ramona, from my wheel. You say my wheel is vastly different than Mason's wheel?
Yeah, next week when Mason's here, I'm going to be answering things like, you know, what's your favorite color? And, you know, who was your favorite teacher growing up?
So you got one more off of my wheel, and it's next, 710 ESPN. Yeah.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right. That's happening today a little before 4 o'clock at the Hollywood Park Casino. You can see Cap. You can go see Key. Key's going to be there at 6 o'clock tonight. So lots going on.
Nice.
It's time to spin the wheel of questions. Jorge, spin it. Well, it's kind of a fun one. Okay. Wheel of questions are presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around, not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. Okay. So let's say you could get a ticket, like a Willy Wonka golden ticket that was good to get you into any show or event anywhere in the world. But you only get one. What would you use the ticket for?
So,
Ramona, you
like
get a Willy Wonka.
Past or present?
Let's say current. Let's say something that's coming up. It can be, you can go to, Hamilton. You can go to the Super Bowl. You can go to a, you know, you can go to a, whatever. You can go to the Met Ball. You can go whatever requires a ticket to enter. You can use this on. You can use your golden ticket, but you only get one. What do you use it for?
I think that I would use it for definitely some kind of cool international thing. Okay. So let's think about something overseas. I'd be more into like a World Cup championship, or World Cup final, something
World
like
Cup
that.
Final?
Yeah. I think I'd go to
what Jorge would use.
That's
it
what I was going to say.
Yeah. But maybe I would want to go to something even like club soccer, like just some kind of,
the Champions League. Oof.
Yeah. Some kind of Champions League final. That'd be pretty awesome. All right. Yeah, let's say Champions League final, because like the next World Cup's in Qatar. I don't want to go to that.
Do you pronounce it Qatar or Qatar?
Qatar.
I always said Qatar, but it's actually Qatar.
Okay. Yeah. Lindsay, I give you the Willy Wonka golden ticket. It can get you into any show or event anywhere in the world. What do you use it on?
Well, if the chocolate factory from the movie was real, I'd pick that. But since it's not, I'm going to go with the Grammys after party, whatever the big famous fancy one was. Because as much as I'd like to go to the Grammys, I'd be more interested in the after party and like seeing
when
all the celebrities
all
drunk and stuff. Yeah, that's probably what I would pick.
That is a very good answer that would probably have very good stories.
Yeah.
What popped into my head was I would want to go to something I've never been to. So I've never been to the Kentucky Derby. I've never been to the Indy 500. I've never been to Wimbledon. I've never been to a World Cup final. I've been to a World Cup game in 94 when the World Cup was in the United States. Mm-hmm. I think, but I would hate to miss, like, if my team was in the final, I might hold it and just wait until whatever team, I'm a Dodger fan, I'm a Laker fan, I'm a Raider fan, like Momo. If the Raiders made it back to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's cool.
Can you imagine how cool it would be to be there? We could paint our faces like Putty on Seinfeld, silver and black. We could sit next to Chains and all those guys that hang out in the black hole. I would probably save it until I had something of significance in the final. By the way, you guys both Momo and Jorge, you guys both mentioned soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big soccer story today that, Jorge, you steered me the wrong way on.
What do you mean?
Yesterday you sent me a text saying that Cristiano Ronaldo, who's one of the two most famous soccer players in the world, him and Lionel Messi, you said, hey, Ireland, Ronaldo's going to sign with Manchester City.
Yep.
Who is, I'm a Manchester United fan.
Yeah, me too.
And I think what I said was, at the time, Man U could screw up a ham sandwich. Man City's getting all the good players. This ticks me off. So then you sent me another text today saying they pulled a Max Scherzer.
They did.
Remember when everybody said Max Scherzer was going to the Padres, Momo, that it was imminent, and all of a sudden at the last minute he went to the Dodgers? It got announced today that Cristiano Ronaldo is going back to Manchester United. So the guy who really got me into soccer 10 years ago was Mike Trudell. He's a huge soccer fan. He's a Man United fan. He goes, if you want to get into this, it was right during a World Cup year. He goes, just start watching English Premier League, watch the Man United games, and I'll walk you through it. So then I started watching the Man United games, and I was hooked. So I texted Trudell, how big of a deal is United signing Ronaldo? Here's what he says. Soccer-wise, not massive. Interest-wise, it's huge. He's tied with Messi for the most popular athlete in the world. He goes back to his original club. He's 36, which is even more ancient in soccer than any other sport, because the demand on the bodies are running that much. But he's still a great player. Don't get me wrong.
He is.
He probably can't play every day anymore. Got to limit his minutes in games, but he still can definitely score. Do you agree with all that, Jorge?
100%. 100%.
Yeah, I think now, last couple of years, I didn't watch the regular amount of Man United games. Now I will. Now, when is Rashford supposed to be back?
That I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah. I think he may play more than we think, at least initially. But how big of a story do you think that is, Momo? Ronaldo going back to the English Premier League?
I think that's a huge story. Like, to me, that would be the equivalent of Kevin Durant going back to Oklahoma City. Is that right? Is that a good comparison?
Or LeBron back to Cleveland? Yeah, that's
LeBron back to Cleveland. Yeah. I mean, but LeBron went back to Cleveland in his prime, so it'd be more like if LeBron went back to Cleveland now, okay? I think it's a big story. It's also because, like, I just went on Ronaldo's Instagram page just to check, like, his following. Guess how many Instagram followers Ronaldo has?
I would think it'd be in the millions.
Millions, yeah.
40 or 50 million.
How many million?
Just to take it. 50 million.
Okay. Lindsay, how many guess?
200 million.
Okay. Corey?
80 million.
334 million followers.
Jeez, that's Kardashian-esque.
God. And almost everything he posts is a paid sponsorship ad. You know, paid partnership with, you know, his eyewear brand. Or what is this one? Play It Cool, Cristiano Ronaldo. It's a fragrance. I mean, these aren't like amazing photos. I mean, although there is one amazing one he just posted. He just had it's like a posing one here. But almost all of them are just old photos. There's a few, they're paid photos. Here's one with him and his son with their new eyeglasses for his eyewear company.
Okay, I mean, not to get all weird on you guys.
Yeah.
But I think Ronaldo might be the best looking athlete in sports. Is there anybody better looking than that dude?
There's only one, David Beckham.
David Beckham. I was going to say David Beckham.
No, I think Ronaldo is more handsome than David Beckham, but that's because David Beckham's a little older now.
Well, I was at a party, Ramona, you remember Tim Lywicki. I used to be pretty good friends with Lywicki, and Mason was too. Tim used to come on our show all the time when they built Staples Center. And so Tim would invite me to parties. And one year when the Kings won the Stanley Cup, he invited Lisa and I to come go to his house. And so we're walking in, and here comes David Beckham and Victoria right next to us. And the thing that surprised me about Beckham is he's not very big. You know, like, I'm taller than he's, and Victoria weighs like 100 pounds.
Jeez. Less. I bet she's less.
Ronaldo, Jorge, is a little bigger, right?
Yeah, he's probably, what, 5'11", maybe 6?
Yeah, and so that's the one thing about Beckham, not to say that he's not a great-looking dude, but he's just, when he walks into a room.
It's different, like, you know, Ronaldo's Portuguese and Beckham's English, but like, there's just something about Beckham, sorry. Like, he's so cute.
All right.
It's the accent, maybe, I don't know.
All right, so coming up, I'm not, like, where do you stand on mascots, Momo? Are you a fan of mascots with pro and college teams, or would
you
rather?
Yes, huge fan of mascots. Every time I see a mascot, I go hang out with them.
Okay, so that's kind of what I think too. But there are people that want to get rid of, among others, the Notre Dame leprechaun.
Oh,
we'll explain. Next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, this week it's Momo in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. Mace is back Monday, but he'll be with Momo because I'm back out. But by the time football season rolls around, we'll get everybody back in place. Special guest now calling. Who's online? Hello?
Hello?
All right, Ramona, let's see if we can figure out who this is. Hello? It's a mystery guest. Are you somebody who has a show on the station?
I may. You never know.
Come on, man.
Oh, that's Keyshawn.
What? Is it Key?
What did you say?
Oh, wow. Key, that was good. That was you're very good at voices. Key does a very good stuffy white banker voice. That was a very subtle voice. hey, you're back in town, man.
I'm just driving the streets of the 405 freeway. I actually was downtown. I'm going to be doing my show from the LAPC this week, and I was doing some sound check stuff, and I was driving from down there doing sound check to make sure everything is okay at 3 a.m. in the morning on Monday. And so I happened to turn into 710 and said, you know, figure, oh, listen to see what they –
what they're talking about in sports before I head over to Hollywood Park Casino later on this evening. And I happen to listen to two people that I love dearly, but I won't smack Ramona, but I'm going to smack you upside your head, Ireland.
Okay, tell me why.
You defend Scott Zolak and tell me that Scott Zolak is in the right.
He's not in the right.
Making those rap comments when I know he's in the wrong. No, he shouldn't lose his job. I don't care about all the council culture or whatever, right. All that stuff. That doesn't matter to me. He is who he is. I've had the fortune enough to be on the East Coast over the last year and pay very close attention to the New England Patriots and the whole East Coast market of sports. I understand what Boston is. I understand what the city is. And I understand what certain individuals are who try and play it up. I watched Scott Zolak in the booth in the first game that Matt Jones took the field and how he was jumping for joy and screaming on every single throw and making it seem like, oh, my God, oh, he almost had it all. Just trying to create this drama. Why Scott Zolak said what he said, I have no idea. But I do know it is coded language, and it is saying something. It's like if Mac Jones was playing Metallica or one of those groups, would we be saying that? Would we say that? Would we say he shouldn't play that?
No, he shouldn't have key. He shouldn't have said it. No, he shouldn't have said it. He was wrong. What my point was, and I'll let you tell me if you agree, that we live in a culture now where everybody's going to go for this dude's job. They're going to call for his head. And I think that if you commit a crime or if you're harassing women or if you're doing something illegal, you got to pay the consequences for that. But I think Zolak should apologize. I think he made a stupid observation that makes no sense. Cam Newton used to play music.
He made an ass of himself,
right,
is what he did.
And I think he should be given the chance to apologize.
And I told somebody earlier today, Momo, in Ireland,
yeah,
when I see him, we're going to have a sideboard conversation. We're just going to have a conversation. I'm going to interject my nose in his business when I see him personally. And I'm going to see him because I'm going to go to a couple of New England Patriot games. And I just want to know, what were you thinking, man? Because Mac Jones listens to rap music, too. You do understand that, right?
Yeah, and Cam actually and Cam commented Newton, on it earlier in the year.
And Cam Newton has always had a fun time at practice. Everybody's personalities is different. No one person's the same. So when I heard you guys talking about it, I said, I gotta get to my guy and my girl. I can't have them out there in the universe naked and not really, really, really focused in on what it is.
Well, and by the way, hey, Keith,
Mac Jones to start.
Jorge, play the short version of what Zolak said, because a lot of people are probably out there driving around, and this is what Key called in about. Scott Zolak was making an observation. He was asked the question, what could the Patriots do to make Cam Newton's life a little easier? And here's what Zolak said.
I'd turn off the rap music, first of all, because I think it's distracting for Cam here, because in between every throw, he's dancing.
I did see Karen Garigian of the Herald tweeting about that as he took the field. He's doing it in between drills, you're saying.
Yeah,
he makes a throw, and then the music's still cranking. I know you can hear faintly in the background here.
And he went on to say that Mac Jones appears...
I don't mean to laugh, but...
Yeah, I hear you.
Silly, man.
Yeah, he went on to say that Mac Jones appears all business and Cam is paying too much attention to the music and he's out there dancing. You used the right word, Key. Momo used it earlier. It's coded. It's very racially coded. And he shouldn't have said it because it's a bad look. And you talked about the history of Boston. This is something that we had Torrey Hunter on the show, Key, one morning when you and I were working together. And Torrey said he had it put in his contract that he could never be traded to Boston because it was tangible to him that when he felt when he was in that city playing in the outfield that there were racial overtones that he didn't want him or his family to deal with. So Zolak better apologize. And if he doesn't, Key, I think the roof's going to cave in on him. But I don't think he should be fired.
No, I don't think he should be fired. He didn't. It was coded language, first of all. He didn't blatantly say anything that would make me. I know what he's saying, but it wasn't egregious enough for him to lose his job over. And I'll be the first to say it. If it was egregious enough for him to lose his job, yeah, he should apologize and maybe go further into explaining exactly what he was trying to say. Because I don't get how you were in a locker room for as many years as you were a backup quarterback in the National Football League and played with, I'm assuming, a majority of African-American and minorities on your teams that listen to pop culture, hip-hop, rap, R&B on the field and in the locker room for you to say that. But I also know that he is pulling for Mac Jones to be the starter, which isn't going to happen. No matter what anybody tells you, Cam Newton's the starter. No matter how they scream, how they kick, until Cam Newton screws it up, he's the starter, period.
Yeah, Key, you know what I thought when I see it? It's like it's every stereotype and every bit of coded language, and it's so like what you said about him rooting for Mac. I mean, it's like how people used to root for Tebow, and it was like, okay, I see what's happening here. Like, it's not, you know, we can all, but there's a part of me that says, and this is why I don't really like cancel culture either. I feel like talking about it out loud and calling it out, doesn't that do more for changing this type of stuff and educating guys like Zolak than just firing them? Like, does now all of us around the world, like, to me, I always think like, okay, it's fine. Like, he's taking a lot of heat right now, and whatever part of him that had no idea of how stereotypical and offensive that type of description he was giving was, like, he should understand it now. And if he doesn't, then now we have a problem. But if you don't understand it, if you didn't understand it before this, you should understand it now.
I think he understood it. I just don't think he gave a damn, because that's what they do in that area. Not all, but enough that I can say that. And I think when you look at a guy like Scott Zolak, that I know Scott. Scott played with me for a stint with the Jets. I know Scott. But what happens in this situation, it makes me raise my eyebrows about you now.
Right.
Now I'm worried about who I've befriended for all these years.
Yeah.
Now I'm really worried. Now, did you feel that way about Ty Law? Did you feel that way about Willie McGinnis? Did you feel that way about those guys? That makes me now say to myself, well, wait a minute, man. I know this ain't just for shock value. And I hear people say, well, if Cam was playing at a level, well, Cam is playing pretty good in the preseason. Last year was last year. What he's doing in training camp and what he did in the preseason has warranted him to be able to do whatever it is that Bill Belichick is allowing him to do, doing practice and having fun. The head coach of the organization has no complaints. So why do you have any complaints sitting in a box in the 50-yard line 100 feet in the air?
Yeah,
why does that bother you?
Key, it's And by the way, you're 100% right that Newton's going to be the starter. He gives them the best chance to win, and that's why he's going to be in there. Hey, before I let you go, because I know you're on your way, you're going over to Hollywood Park later, and you'll talk more about this tonight, but I haven't talked to you since it was announced that you and Max are going to be the morning show, which has a lot of people excited around here. What do you think?
I don't know anything about that. It was not told to me personally. I only know rumors. When the opportunity presents itself, I'll take a long look at it and you know, have conversations with those powers that be.
So I'm gonna give you a little tip, okay? Mm-hmm. I used to host with Kellerman all the time, right? When Marcellus would be off or whatever it is. And I had this rule with Max is that he would always come in, and he was like a puncher, right? He would just come in and he would like punch himself out in the first like hour or two of the show. And he would say everything he had to say, and I could barely get a word in. And I would just let him talk, and I would say, really?
That will not happen with Keyshawn, trust me.
Okay, so I would let him talk for, like, the first 2 hours, and then the second 2 hours were my time to shine because he was tired. So I think it's going to be the opposite. Well, I don't think Max is a morning person, so I think you're going to be coming out the gates hard, and he's going to be waking up, and then by the second 2 hours, you can just cruise.
Yeah, it's morning – radio is a little bit different than afternoon drive where you're already up. So he's got to, you know, that waking up at
3:34 a.m. in the morning and being sharp at 6 a.m. is going to be different from him, for him, I'm sure. And it's going to take some getting used to. And, you know, as long as he don't come with that Columbia education, I think he'll be okay.
All right. Hey, by the way.
Don't try to be the smartest guy in my room, because I'm going to kill you off real quick.
Oh. Yeah, I can't wait. Hey, by the way, hey, Key, do you know what today is the four-year anniversary of?
No, you're going to tell me.
The Marquee Race. It was four years ago today. And by the way, I will continue to say it, despite the semantics BS that Wiley has put out into the universe, that he won on some technicality. Not only did Keyshawn beat him, but Keyshawn beat him three margaritas in. Key did not warm up. He drank three margaritas, and then he smoked Wiley in the Marquee Race. So, Key, celebrate today.
Correct.
It's your day.
And ever since I beat Marcellus when he was at 710, I can't find him now. Is he still in broadcasting? Because I don't even know where to locate him at. It was like he disappeared.
All right, man. Well, listen, we'll look for you tonight at Hollywood Park. Welcome back to California, and can't wait to hear you and Max in the morning. Thanks for calling in.
I'll see you guys.
All right, man. There's Keyshawn Johnson. I can hear Lindsay screaming, break! So we'll do that. Back with more after this, 710 ESPN.